Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we just come before your throne of grace and mercy, Lord God, just with thanksgiving and with so much gratitude and accolades that we could give you, Father. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Father, for this time in your presence. For God, we know that this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it, Father. We thank you, Father, for the sun, the rain, the moon, the stars, God, the clouds, God, the wind, and Father, the grass that blow that begins to move as the wind blows. We thank you for all things that we see in creation each day. That reminds us, Father, how much you care about us, how much you are constantly thinking about us, how much you have everything in control over our lives, and how you are invested in us, Father. And we thank you for that we are not cast out or cast away or a second thought, but God, we are always a first thought on your mind every time and all time. So Father, we thank you that God, even on this day, that God, we choose to worship you. We choose to set aside this time, to set aside this opportunity just to give you praise and to give you honor. Father, we thank you that, Lord God, that even in the midst of everything that is going on right now, you still settle our hearts and minds, that we still have the knowledge and the understanding to know that you, God, are our all in all, that you are our hope, you are our reason, you are our balance, you are our life, you are the very existence that we are. Without you, God, we could be nothing. We are nothing. We wouldn't even exist. But Lord God, we thank you that you decided to create us and create this world that we live in and create our family members and create the very nuances of our day-to-day activities and going ins and going outs. Father, we thank you for every struggle. We thank you for every stronghold. We thank you for every place where we felt lost, every place that we felt misunderstood, every place, God, that we've had despair, every place, God, even where we may have had depression. We thank you for those times because, God, it begins to bring to us the understanding and remind us that, Father, that you are our hope. You are our breath. You are our existence. You are our peace. You are our joy. And Father, as the word says, that the joy of the Lord, that's where we find strength. Father, right now we reach out and we begin to grab hold to the joy that you have given us. Grab hold to the peace and the comfort and the understanding and the knowledge that you have dispensed out through us through your son Christ. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Father, that he has been the game changer in our lives. He has been our door. He has been our key. He has been our road, God, that we can get to you and regain our fellowship with you, that we may regain our worship with you again, God. And we thank you, Father, that he has come that we may live, God, that he has died, Father, for our sins, God, that we may be forgiven. And Lord God, there are many people that do not know who Christ is, but Lord God, let our lives speak who Jesus is. Let our lives invite them to know your love through him. Invite them to know who you are. Invite them to know your power. Invite them to know your changing and healing virtue, Father, in our lives. So Father God, we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. So Father God, into that sacrifice, Father, we ask that you begin to use us, God, in a great measure. But Father, before you do, we ask, God, that you begin to clean up our hearts, our minds, and our soul. That Lord God, if there's anything that you find that is displeasing in your sight, we ask that you remove it now and never let it return. We ask that you begin to set us in alignment with your will and your purpose. Set us in alignment with what you expect of us according to your word. Put, God, your love and your desire in our hearts, that God, that we may be able to please you. Father, it's not our will. It's not our plan. It's not our dream or our goal or our focus. But Lord God, our dreams, goals, and our vision, God, relies in you. Whatever, God, that will move and bring you glory and justify that you are the God that healeth and deliver thee, that's the will that we want. We want your purpose, that you may be glorified. But Father, we want you to be lifted up. We want you to be magnified. We want you to be adored. We want this world to know that you are in existence. And Father God, you have created us that we may be on this earth to point our lives and everything back to you. So Father God, right now, we thank you, Father, that you are cleaning up our hearts and our minds right now. We thank you, Father, that you are perfecting us, God, according to your word, that you are shaping and molding us, God, that we are being yielded, God, as you see fit, that Father, we are that clay that is on the potter's wheel, And as your finger of love touch us, Father, we are moved and we are shaped into the very design and divine creation that is the likeness of your image. So, Father God, we just thank you for that. And Father God, we lift up everyone, Father, that does not know your love. We lift up everyone that is struggling right now. We lift up everyone, Father, that is going through different adversities and obstacles. Father, let them see the insight. Let them see the secret code to the purpose and the plan that you have already intended for them. That, God, that they understand that there's something much bigger and better and greater than whatever it is that they may feel that they're going through right now. I pray, Father, that every giant that has presented itself against the knowledge of God is destroyed. We know, Father, that God, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Lord God, we stand in the victorious rest that, Lord God, you are alone get the victory. That, Lord God, you are the Redeemer, that you are the Waymaker, you are the Provider, you are the Righteous Judge, that you are still on the throne. You have never lost a case, nor have you never lost a battle. So, Father, we thank you. We magnify you because of that very existence. That, Father God, when our hearts get weary and our minds get confused and our eyes begin to be filled with tears, Father, we look to the hills, which cometh our help, God. We see your outstretched arms inviting us in. We see your love and the rays of sunshine that you begin to warm our hearts with to let us know that we are protected from any coldness that can be in this world. Thank you, God, that you begin to hold us in your right hand. And Father, that we shall journey on. No matter what the end may be, Father, we know that the end is with you. And Father, we trust you. We magnify you. We believe you, God. We honor you. And we will forever, God, be in debt to you. So, Father God, 10,000 tongues would not even be enough to truly praise you rightly. Any word that we could ever think in our mind could never describe how awesome and magnificent you are. So, Father God, we'll let the description be unknown. We'll let the description be unspoken. But we will live that description by the aspect of the lives that we decide to present to you. That, Lord God, when you call us home at your appointed time, that we may hear you say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." That we shall know then at that time that we have glorified you. That we shall know that our living was not in vain. That we shall know, Father, that all the sacrifices and the pains and the weight of glory, that there shall be a glorious rest that shall be revered. So, Father, right now in this time, I pray, Father, that God, even now, that God, you begin to send your word, send your anointing, send your grace, send your peace, send your instructions, send your divine revelation. Send your equipping power. God, send your Holy Ghost power. Let it rest in every home. Father God, send your rejuvenating fire right now. The reviving fire, the reconciliation fire, God. The fire that you use, God, to bring those closer to you. The very attentive fire that caused Moses to pay attention to what you were saying and what you were doing. The fire that grabs our attention, Father. The fire that begins to arrest us, Father, and let us know that there is something greater at work. And Father God, I thank you that when you call us, that Lord God, that God, you, we will answer the call. Father, touch our hearts and minds. Father, soften up our spirits now. Father, we know that weeping may endure for a night, but Lord God, joy comes in the morning. I pray that God, that those that have wept in tears, Father, they have sowed tears, God, that have been crying over situations and crying over people and crying over adversities and crying over difficulties. Lord God, we know that you hear the tears. Father, you answer according to your word. You answer with your soft, smooth voice that brings comfort, that brings strength, and God brings deliverance. Father, help those that are hurting right now. That, Lord God, that they'll become to know that, God, that the pain that they are experiencing is God works a far way to glory. That, God, you are still in the midst. You see all. You know all. You know what was said. You know what was done. And, Father God, every disappointment, every place of rejection, every place that we are feeling irritated or frustrated, Father God, touch us right there in that place. Remove it from our hearts, God, because whatever it is, God, that it may set a wedge between what you are doing, Father. God, let us see what you are doing in a way that we shall be able to settle back and begin to trust and let you drive. that you direct us into the path that you have. Father, we acknowledge you in all thy ways, and we open the path and the understanding of the path, and we may be guided to that destined place, the place that you alone have ordained, the place that you alone have set aside for us, that place alone, Father, that you have called us to be, that place, God, that is inside of you, that place, God, that you have only allowed certain people to access. Father, those with clean hands and pure hearts may be able to see you. So, Father, we ask that our hands be clean and our hearts be pure. We pray, Father, that any malice in our heart is removed. God, we begin to present ourselves to you, present our hearts to you, that, God, you begin to shift it now. And Lord God, we lift up families, God, that have lost loved ones. We lift up those that are in a place of despair and feeling that, God, that your hand is not still at work over their lives. I come against every struggle and stronghold that the enemy tries to put against your people, that he tries to use to destroy the people and try to discredit the word that you have spoken. But God, we thank you that even in the midst of every trying time, every tribulation period, that Lord God, your word still stands. And Father, your word is like that banner that waves over the nations. It's that flag that, God, we look forward to. It is the very thing that brings hope and brings us understanding to know and reminds us of what you have spoken, but not only what you have spoken, but who you are and what you have destined yourself to be. And Lord God, we just come before you right now with humble hearts and humble mind, that God, that you would make this slight moment be magnified, that you would make our time in your presence. God, we want it to be glorious. We want it to be glorious. We want it to be magnificent. We want it to be remembered, God. We don't ever want to leave your presence, for we know, God, that your presence is always with us. That, God, you fill every nook and cranny of the world's existence, of our existence, and we thank you that, God, nothing, no gap is missed that the enemy can get into. But, God, you fill that space. You fill that with your intent. You fill that with your love. And, Lord God, when we don't know what to say, and oftentimes and we may feel that we're inadequate, God, we ask that you look at the very intent of our hearts, that you know that we have hearts that want to please you. And Lord, even when we can't express it eloquently in words, that you would begin to read the very heart posture of our hearts, that our moans are being interpreted by you, that you will begin to give us instruction, direction, and provide for our needs, even when we can't even speak audibly what it is that we need. Father, we know that you know. We know that you see. We know that you hear. We know that you are a very present help in a time of trouble. So, Father God, we lift up our hands in total adoration unto you, that you reign upon the throne, that you are God and you are God alone. And, Father, in all that, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. Come on and give God praise for all that he has done. I know that you may not be able to see, you may not be able to really be in a church setting where everybody can see you give your praise, but you know, that's not the praise that is counted. In other words, the praise that people may see you worship, people may see you give God praise and say hallelujah, but that's not what's being counted. The praise is the praise that's being counted when nobody else is watching. When your heart gets into a place where you just want to lift up your hands and give God praise in spite of, when you at work and you have no choice but to say, God, I owe you a praise. I owe you a hallelujah. I give you glory and I give you honor. I love you. When people may think that you're crazy and that you have lost your mind, they will soon see that you are in your right mind by giving him his due praise, no matter what circumstance, no matter what situation, no matter what comes your way. He is worthy of the praise. Amen. Amen. God, I bless you. I bless you. I magnify you. I trust you. I throw and cast every care upon you right now. I cast every heart weight right now on you. I let you take it. I let you work it how you need to work it. Because, Father, I am certain to know that it's all a balancing act. It's all something that is going to come into this appointed time. Whatever desire, whatever ambition, Father. Father, I totally rely upon you. I totally give into you. I let you drive. I let you lead. I let you speak. I let you direct. I let you create. I let you shift, God, in the name of Jesus. Yes, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing it again, God. Thank you for showing your power once again, God. Thank you for reigning again. Thank you for delivering again. Thank you for breaking down again. Thank you for building up again. Thank you for controlling and manipulating and moving the demonic forces in such a way that it works out for an orchestrated tapestry of the picture that you have for our lives. I thank you, Father, that you cripple the hands of the enemy. I thank you, Father, that you begin to destroy every vain imagination, every mind-blinding, mind-blowing spirit that tries to come. I thank you, Father, that your hand begins to block every dart of the enemy. Father, we know that the enemy is on our trail. We know, Father, that he's trying to destroy us. We know, Father, that he's going back and forth seeking who he can devour. And Father, we also know that he has no power over you. We also know that he cannot pull us out of the hands of love that surround us. And for that, Father, we are grateful in such a way. Hey, God, let your wind blow, Father. God, let your wind blow upon this nation. Let revival take place now in every aspect of our hearts. Let everything, so Father, heal this nation right now in the name of Jesus. Use this, Father, for your purpose. Use this for your plan. Use this to draw men back unto you. Use this to turn their hearts back to you, God. Let them find you in the midst of their adversity. Let them find you in the midst of their struggle. And Father, we praise you. We honor you. And we give you glory. Come on and give God praise. My name. Come on, give him worship. Give him honor. Worship him. He's awesome in his presence. He's awesome in his place. Right in your home. Right where you are. Right in your car. Right on your cell phone. God is in the midst of us. He is in the midst of the building. And welcome to church. Yes, welcome to the church. Yes, you may not be in an actual building. You may not be in an actual facility or an actual edifice, but the church is inside of us. We are the church, and God's presence still comes and fills that temple. So, Father, we thank you for that. Come on and give God praise. Amen. My name is Pastor Robert J. Douglas, and I am the proud servant leader of an awesome ministry that God has allowed to be for me to be responsible for, to me to serve, and that is Restoring the Remnant Ministries International, located down here in Tampa, Florida, and across the world. So we thank God for this time, and we are so grateful that you are able to join us this morning. I know that you could have been anywhere doing anything at any given time, but I am so glad that you decided to come here and begin to hop on our podcast and begin to hopefully seek a word that God will speak to encourage your spirit. I pray that Father begins to speak to the very essence of your soul and your heart, and that the word that he has for us today will be nourishment to your bones and begin to strengthen and straighten and begin to challenge some of the vain imaginations that sometimes we often set in our minds. Yes. So I thank you for coming on here. And if you feel by any means that that we can be of any type of help or support to you, you can always join us at any given time. We have our services at 11:30. Also, we have our Bible study on Thursdays at 7:30 right here on the Podbean podcast, which is RTRMI Radio. Without further ado, I really want to get into the lesson that I believe God has for us today. I do apologize. I have a little bit of a scratchy voice this morning, but that's okay. I'm still going to strive on to do what thus saith the Lord. I come against everything that the enemy tries to destroy us with. But hey, I do believe that because of that, God will allow this be anointed and that he will allow every word that he desires to speak to come out clearly and to meet or to go to wherever he wishes it to go. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. But I'm so glad to have you here. So glad to see my RTR and my family on the podcast. And those that are coming, definitely you are welcome to join into our little chat and chime. And if there's any in agreement or any things you want to say, feel free to hop onto the chat and do that as well. Amen. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the word of God. I believe that God has a special word for us tonight. or today. I believe that it's something that's going to be something that will kind of resonate with you. And so without further ado, I do want to get into it. I do want to challenge your mind a little bit. Challenge your mind a little bit, or to kind of want you to walk on a little bit of a journey with me for a moment. And we're going to go to Ecclesiastes. And really, it's going to be two passages of scripture I really want to just kind of touch on, and we'll shift from there. Ecclesiastes, 7th chapter. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. And it's going to be the 13th through the 14th verse. Ecclesiastes, 7th chapter, 13 through the 14th verse. We'll give you a little bit of time to get that on your iPhone, your cell phone, iPad, or well, or whatever it may be. Amen. Ecclesiastes 7, 13, and 14. And we may jump around to some other things here. And Ecclesiastes 7:13 reads as this: consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. I'm going to read that again. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. The title of the sermon for today that I want you to write down and I want you to remember, or to just let it resonate on your notes or your pad or your phone. The sermon that God gave me this morning is "When the Weight Shifts." When the weight shifts. And this morning I was, really just seeking God as far as how and what he wanted me to say. And that thing just kept resonating in my spirit, when the weight shifts. And, I know that, a lot of times we talk about there's going to be a shifting here, and there's going to be, different things that's taking place and things is moving on. But I want to, if you can, just kind of walk with me, because he kind of gave me this thought. And what if, it would be nice if we were in a world that was created in such a way that everything was exactly what we, in a sense, may have wanted it to be. And what I mean by that is this: what if we were able to live in such a way that we did not have to worry about things going south or things going wrong, but they would go in a series of predetermined events that were produced the same result? What if everything was the same for everybody, every day, all the time, every time? Or what if everything was right at your reach, meaning, you wanted a glass of water and you didn't have to get up out of your seat, but you would just stretch out your hands and you would have water. If you wanted something to eat, you would just reach out your hand and you would have something to eat. And you didn't have to overly exert yourself. You didn't have to overly reach. But you received what you wanted with very little effort. Hey, what if there was no struggle, no strife, no resistance, no objection, no one to say no, no one to cause conflict, no one to cause an adversity, no one to cause any type of struggle? Almost like a cookie cutter type of situation, you know, where everything has to be a certain way and it gave a certain result, where everything was made easy. You know, you wouldn't even have the to even worry about racking your brain to even make a decision. Say, for example, you're standing in front of a vending machine. You don't know if you want, you know, popcorn, tater chips, and all these things. But to even make that even simpler, you just only got one choice. And every button that you, or every slot that would have a product in it, is the exact same product. I know it may sound crazy what I'm talking about, but I'm trying to paint something or paint a picture or to try to get you to really maybe look at or kind of stretch your mind in a bit. What if we were in a world where, you know, you looked at your closet and you're trying to say, you know what, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to wear today. And I know for many of us, it's like we want to be fly, we want to look good. But what if you didn't have to even have that challenge of figuring out what you're going to wear, but everything that you have is the exact same. And it's the exact same, not only in your closet, but it's the exact same in everybody's closet, where it'll be the same shirt, same dress, same pants, same whatever it was. It would be the exact same outfit that you will wear. Now, we will see that as being, you know, cool. I already know what I will want to put on. Just like how we, you know, we look at our school systems at times that for the kids that have to wear a uniform, we're kind of blessed because we don't have to spend our time matching up the shirt and the pants with our children's outfit, but they have a set uniform. In other words, they have a set order, a set purpose, a set plan that they have to follow by to make sure that everything is equal. What if the world was created that way, where everything was the same? Everything was you know, the same color, the same size, the same span of existence, the same power, the same strength. What if everything was the same? Or we were the same, doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Well, we didn't have to use the part of our brains that causes us to think of different innovative and creative ideas, that we just didn't have to try to fathom how we can figure certain things out, or we didn't have to understand how certain things work so that we can try to make certain things better. But that all doesn't really matter, but everything is the same. You get up, you do what you're supposed to do, and you go to sleep. Just to get up, do what you're supposed to do, and go to sleep. So that you can get up to do what you're supposed to do and to go to sleep. What if your bank accounts would be the same? What if, you know, at the beginning of the day, there was a deposit of, let's say, for example, $300 that would get put into your account? Now, that may be great because that's money that we feel that we didn't have to really work for, but it's willed to us or given to us because of provision. It was $300 that would be put in there in the morning. However, that same $300 will be exhausted at the end, all to find another $300 that will be put in there the next morning. And at the end of the day, that same $300 being spent at the end. But yet the next day, another $300 will be put in there. And this, for many people, may seem to be a life or a world that many would want to live in, where there would be no cares, there would be no worries. You wake up every day and everything is the same, and everything is the same. So that means that there would be nothing that would go outside of the norm. There would be nothing that would challenge, or that would be nothing that would kick against or to kick into. It would be nothing that would cause us to be outside of what we feel comfortable. Matter of fact, that would very thing, that very concept of living, that very existence of life, would create a pattern, a cookie cutter pattern that we'll be doing and be being the same every day, all day, all the time. For many, this would be a perfect world. For many, compared to now, this would be their concept of what heaven should be. And interesting, if I may challenge that concept just for another moment and add another piece. Let's say, for example, the very thing that you put effort into at the beginning of the day. Let's say, for example, you start your shift at 7 o'clock in the morning, but the next person starts their shift at 5 p.m. and you both get off at 6:30, but you both receive the same thing. And there's nothing that's going to change it because it's going to be the same thing over and over and over again. This would be a balance for many. This would be the very thing as my mind begins to think about the scale that we look at. I remember the scale of injustice, or the scale of justice, matter of fact, where, you know, there's these two baskets or two platforms that are held together by chains, and one is balanced by the other, but that scale is now equally balanced. The same weight is on the left is the same weight that's on the right. And even in that very thing of what we call balance, is that it begins to balance everything. Now, we would want a world that is balanced. We want things that would not, you know, cause any harm, cause any danger, but would be the same. Would be the same. Would be the same. Just like my voice, you would probably find it soothing if I were to speak in a certain tone. I wouldn't just speak in a normal monotone way that every tone would register at the same level on a microphone radar. It would just be the same tone continuously. It would be no fluctuations of my voice. It would just be the very same thing over and over and over again. That may be soothing for some people, but then some people may like it when I increases my voice because of the fact it brings an attention to it. But no, this is not the world that we're living in. We're living in a world that is just flat existence. Just a challenge of mine. Vanilla. Everything is vanilla. Everything is plain. Everything is not too hot, not too cold, but exact same. Exact same. Balance, yes. Some people would think that's balance, but in actuality, when I think about the word balance, balance is basically a thing that's where an even distribution of weight enabling someone or something to remain upright and steady. Or the second verse of it is a condition in which different elements are equal or in the correct proportions. Equal or in the correct proportions. And if you really think about it, what I just described was where everything was equal and in the correct proportions, where everything was the same. So that basically means that everything wouldn't fall, anything wouldn't teeter, everything would be just upright and remain upright and would be steady because it would be balanced. Well, I want to point you back to Ecclesiastes, because if you think about that and think about everything that I've just said, in a sense, what the writer is saying, in a sense, is that he basically challenges us because of the fact that what he says as, consider the work of God. Because when we think about the work of God, you know, in a sense, God's work, when we go back to Genesis, he has everything in a proper alignment, in a proper structure, in a proper order, in a proper way that it creates a balance. And you would think that the God that we serve, who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, doesn't stop there, but he says, according to the power that works in you. Why would that be added to the equation? Why would God, who has set the sun in one position, to contradict or to balance the moon on the other side, to separate the water from the land, where the water knows exactly when and where it comes, but the the land knows that it stays at a certain position. A God of balance that says that there is day and that there is night. A God of balance that says there is morning and there is evening. A God of balance that says that there is hot and that there is cold. A God of balance that says that there is salty and there is sweet. There is dry and there is wet. An equal balance, right? And we would think that this balanced God would like it any other way, because it seems that if everything is balanced, then everything is manageable. If everything is doing the same thing it's supposed to do day in and day out, then everything would be manageable. You know exactly what you'll have to do for that day, because it's going to be the same day, every day, all the time, every time. A God of balance. You would think that this God of balance would not want to have anything that would offset the balance of what he has already set. But you don't have to understand that when we look at the scripture talks about a different type of God. Yes, he is a God of balance, but the writer says that consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? So when I think about this, I think that, okay, then that means that there are things that are straight and things that are crooked. Why would he make crooked things? Why would he make anything that seems to throw a monkey wrench in a plan of everything being straight? Why would he cause this difference or this adversity or insert something that would force or to challenge something that is straight? What am I talking about? Why would a God that is good allow things to happen to good people or evil to exist aside of the good? Why would that be so? Because of the fact that if he wants it to be balanced, then we would think that in order to balance something, you would destroy or get away with anything that's going to offset that balance. In other words, like he says in the 14th verse, that in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. Why would he say joyful as being prosperous, but also remind you that adversity could come in another day and for you to consider it? In other words, why is he saying that weeping may have to endure for a night, but there's going to be a joy that's going to come in the morning? Why won't the morning just continue to be the morning so that we don't have to experience the weeping? Why do the things in our life have to be so bad before they ever get better? Why we just can't have the good things in life? Why we just can't have things just to be balanced in that way? We would think that that would be the balance that God would want us to have. We would think that God would want us to live a lavish life and to live a easy life, to live a life that is easily managed, a life that we wouldn't have to exert ourselves, or we would just have to, you know, it's easy. You know what? It's interesting. Let me challenge this way, and this may be where many of us sometimes may have thought this, and maybe, you know, you have thought this, maybe you don't. Maybe this may challenge some thinking, and I'm about really almost done in what I'm saying. But you know, we are constantly encouraged to have faith. But why didn't God just make faith easy? Why didn't God just make this belief in him or make this whole process to believe who he is by being the good God that he should be? Why does there have to be this process that we have to go through? Why does the weight shift? Why does it has to be good times sometimes and then there has to be bad times? Why does the weight shift? Why is it that I have to struggle sometimes, and then there's some times that everything's to be fine, but it's always coming back to where I have to struggle again? Why does the weight shift? Here's what I believe God's intention is, and I'm about done. It is not about living a balanced life. It is not about having everything work the way that you intended it to work. It's not about having all the good days and not realizing that even in those good days, in order for a good day to be good, you have to understand that there are going to be some bad days. It's not all about just making sure that everything works great in your life and everything is prosperous and everything is good, but understanding that even in the midst of everything that goes on in your life, that there is always a good and there is always a bad, and they have to contradict each other, because in order for it to be balanced, sometimes the weight has to shift. Sometimes the weight has to shift. Sometimes things in our life have to shift. And it may be sad sometimes, but sometimes the things in our life have to shift to some things that we never desire it to be. Sometimes the things in our life have to shift to a place where it throws the scale off. Sometimes the things in our life have to shift to so that one once was comfortable. Sometimes those things have to shift. The weight has to shift. And sometimes the weight sometimes is not always in our favor. And sometimes it's too much in our favor where it causes us to go down. Or sometimes the weight is lifted and it causes us to go too far up, that we can't find an even plateau where everything is what we would expect to be. And then, you know, God has the audacity to change our surroundings so that we will have to trust him. What type of God does that? I'm so glad it's the God that we serve that does that. I'm so glad that God begins to allow us to see his intended plan, his intended purpose. He allows us not to get so caught up in our comfort zone. He allowed us not to get so caught up in our flesh and get so caught up in our mind, get so caught up in our pride, that sometimes he will make that weight shift over so that we will have to stretch a little further to try to grab hold to something to balance out our lives. And what we have to grab and stretch out for is the word of God. It's the faith of God. It's the believing that God can do it, that God is going to fix it, that God is going to change. It's the scripture and the songs that we sing that it won't always be like this, but God is perfecting that which is turning us. It's going to soon turn around. It's that thing that allows us to reach out and says that late in the midnight hour, when everything is racking and everything is reeling, God is going to turn it around right when we're about to give up our hope and give up our desire and give up our faith. It is the very thing that we begin to hold on to that begins to strengthen our faith and let us see God in a more great and magnificent power. It is not that God wants our lives to be balanced. It is that God wants us to get into a position where we learn how to continually learn how to be balancing our lives. Not to sit in a place of complacency, not to sit in a place where we just allow things to be ran over with, but to begin to stretch out sometimes and begin to fight for whatever it is that God has said in his word that is going to surely come to pass, to fight this good fight of faith and stand firm and see the salvation of God and not just get over and let the things run over our lives and let the enemy win, but begin to tip the weight in our favor, tip the scale of God in our favor, that we'll begin to praise him even when we feel like we are losing. It's something about when you are at the end of a battle or in the bottom of the battle. It's something about that you do something that is outside of your norm. You would think that you would throw in the towel and you would think that you would give up, but there's something inside of your spirit that God begins to shift the weight. And when he shifts the weight, your hands begin to reach up and you begin to say, God, I thank you. God, I glorify you. No matter what adversity comes my way, I will lift up my hands and I will look to the hills, which cometh my help, because my help cometh from God. And even though my weight is shifting to the place where it doesn't seem like it should, I thank you, because when you step in and put your weight around, you'll begin to make everything even in my favor. Matter of fact, you are giving me more weight, that you'll make that scale get off balance where the enemy thought he was equal or winning. It's now off balance where he is now jumped off the scale. I feel that what God is doing in this time, and I feel that what God is doing in the season is that he's beginning to shift the weight. He's shifting the weight in your favor. And what I mean by that is that when you thought that your prayers were not being answered and it seemed like your circumstances were not giving over to the will and the purpose of God, that you did not see the blessings of God in your adversity, when you did not see the hand and the favor of God over your life, God is allowing that weight to be shifted, because as you begin to keep on trusting, keep on believing, keep on fighting the good fight of faith, keep on keeping a good heart, keeping your hands pure, keeping your heart pure, forgiving quickly, he's starting to shift that things around. And when people think that just because you are in a place where it doesn't seem like the hand of God is in your favor, it is that very time, that very moment, that very position where God's hand is on you even the more. How can you sing when you're in a strange land, when people begin to laugh at what you believe in? It doesn't seem fair when you are praying and you are fasting and you are trusting God in every aspect of your life, but it seems like everything in your life is not balancing out. It seems like everything in your life is not producing the glory of God. It's not producing the very thing that we said. It seems like when every time that you say that we are first, it seems like you're always saying that you are first when you are in the last position. It always seems that when you say that I am healed and not sick, but I have to cough just to say that I'm healed, I have to get my breath because my chest is filled with bronchitis, so my chest is filled with certain things, and I have to struggle just to tell them that I am healed, that I'm going to be like, I have to struggle just to pray because I'm hurting so bad in my body, or I'm hurting so bad, and how can I say that I'm healed when it's evident that I'm sick? How can I be the lender and not the borrower when my bank account is at negative? But I'm trusting God that, you know what, I'll give you my last even if it puts me in a negative. It's because God is shifting the weight. God is shifting the weight that he has. And instead of us trying to live in a life that is complacently, I'm so glad that he shifts that weight, because what happens is that even in the midst of the shifting, that God begins to allow his intended plan to come forth like never before. If the scripture would be told, it really says this. Here's what the scripture is really talking about. In Ecclesiastes, I'm going to go back to it because I want to bring something out. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider God also have set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. What does that scripture mean? Well, basically, it's like this. You have this God that knows how to be a prosperous God. He will give you days of prosperity, right? He will give you days in your life that you'll be prosperous, where things are going well, things are going good, things are just moving the way that they are. They're moving in your direction. You know, you are seeing the glory of God being manifested over your life. As you begin to pray, you start seeing your prayers being answered quickly and fast. Everything is going good. There's money in your bank account. There is, you know, God blesses you with a particular position. God blesses your family with something or something good. It seems like good happens. But here's what the writer is saying, is that the same God that gives you the years of prosperity, he's also the same God that will be able to give you put you or will allow certain things to happen in your life that will take that prosperity away. In other words, that you may be rich in one season, but you may be poor in the next season. So what he says is that if you look at it like this, he's the same God that he puts one before the other. In your life, before you came into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you lived in a life that was in darkness. God put that before the life that you now live in the light. He put and switched it around. He has the ability to switch things around. But also, I want you to understand something. God does that for his own intended purpose. It's not that he wants, let's see how I can say this. He does a balance. But what he's really doing is doing a balancing act. Okay, there's balance and then there is a balancing act. What I mean as far as a balancing act, and I'm going to use my own definition because I feel the Spirit of God telling me and moving me in this direction, is that what God does in a balancing act, it is the act of balancing everything. And in our life, God has to make sure that we are properly balanced. And he's constantly doing a balancing act, is that there would be days that we will have lack, and then there was days we will have prosperity. But don't understand, but understand this, that the same days that we will have lack, also the days of prosperity will come. But you also have to understand that when we're having days of prosperity, we have to consider that there could be a time when the days of lack should come. So what that does is it begins to challenge our spirits and begin to challenge our mind and begin to challenge our soul, so that we will understand not the situation of the days that are coming, if we're living in prosperity or if we're living in a day of lack. Not to be so focused on the days, but be, oh God, to be focused on the God that is able to shift those days. Not be so concerned about those times when you don't have anything, but be concerned about who is the God that is able to shift that day from prosperity to the day of lack, and shift that day of lack to a day of prosperity. He is the God that is in control. So he's constantly doing a balancing act so that we may be able to see him in all of his glory. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? God, there are so many different facets of God. There are so many different names of God. You know, Jehovah, there's, and we were to go into a study of it, and I'm not going to go into it right now. We have Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, so on and so forth. God is a healer, God is a deliverer, God is a provider, God is all these different things. And what God would do in a dispensation of your life, God can't really show you everything because it would knock you off your feet. God can show you all of his glory. It will continually, it would just blow your mind. That's why he had Moses. He had Moses to come up to the mountain to where he was. Everybody couldn't come, but he had to basically just kind of pass by. And only Moses saw his shadow and his whole face and everything changed just by seeing just a glimpse of God. So what God does is that he begins to turn and shift himself in so many ways. And in our life, what God does, he begins to allow us to be balanced by doing a complete balancing act. There's times when we may know God in a certain level of faith. I have in my life, I have known God as a God of faith. Of my faith has been challenged in the way of God being a healer. Reason being because I had experiences where I was able to see someone operate, or someone to operate in that name of receiving the healing from God. I've seen it. I've seen my father go through that level of healing in different shapes of his life. And I never experienced it myself, but I know by seeing his testimony and being close with him, I can see that, okay, yeah, I know God is a healer. And when I begin to stand in the stead for somebody else and begin to pray and say, hey, God, by your stripes we are healed, then I begin to see God in a way, or know God in a way, that I have a confidence to know that in spite of the adversity or in spite of the situation, that when I know him to be a healer, so if I know what I've seen, then I am confident that he can do it. And then God begins to show me another side of himself. God begins to allow me to go through certain experiences in my life where I had to trust God, and God to be a deliverer, or God to be a provider, or God to be a judge, or God to be a way maker, or God to be, you know, whatever God needed to be in my life, that's what he was. So when my scale the weight shifted in my life and my scale was unbalanced, God came in and allowed me to see him leveling the weight, doing a balancing act in our lives. And that's what God is doing in many lives of many of our believers. So don't be dismayed when you are faced with adversity that you don't know how to handle. Don't be dismayed when it feels like God is not for you, God is against you, he's not hearing your prayers, he's not hearing your cries. No, beloved, don't get in that aspect. But begin to here's the thing, while he's doing the balancing act, okay, while God is doing the balancing act, and what I mean by him doing the balancing act, when things seem not to be in your favor, you have to know that he is the one that owns the scale. He is the one that puts the weight on the scale. So when the enemy feels like everything is starting to, there's a win for the enemy, and the enemy seems to be weighted, rooted, and grounded, and you seem to be all tossed to and fro at the top of the scale with every winded doctrine, it seems as that God has a way that he can shift that scale. And he'll find that scale being wanting. He'll find whatever you're lacking in. And the very thing that you're lacking in, he'll begin to add to your faith such as needed. If you can get a picture in your mind of a scale, like the old scale that's on that you see the Lady of Justice hold, where there's two baskets on it and there's a little bar that kind of balances it out. So as one weight goes on one side, then the other goes up and it begins to balance out. But imagine that the enemy is on one side of that weight with all his tricks, all his wins, so he thinks. And you're on the other side, just flying up in the air, just no weight, not grounded and rooted and grounded or whatever. And it seems like you could just easily be tossed out, that you don't have any substance, you don't have any value. But you know what? God shifts the weight. God begins to allow you to go through that experience and go through those different trials and those different tests of glory. Because you know what happens is, it's not the weight of an actual 5 pound, 10 pound, a weight of gold or any type of measure like that. But it is the exceeding weight of glory. It's the exceeding weight of God's glory. Oh, my God. 2 Corinthians 4:17. And it says, "For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." So when God shifts the weight, when you think that you are on the inside, when you think that you have a loss, when you think that the enemy is winning, open up your mouth and begin to give God praise, give God honor, and begin to lift him up, because you have identified that you are in an affliction. And when you identify the affliction, then you must go back to the scripture that I just read and said that for our light affliction, in other words, this light little test, this light little process, this light little inconvenience, this light little discomfort, this light little offset, this light little frustration, this light little, bit of trouble, this light little adversity, this light little dysfunction, this light little deficiency, this light little places where I fell, this light little this light, whatever it is, it's light. But when you understand that when this affliction that you're going through, or this trial that you test, this little 1 pound weight, 2 pounds, 7 ounces, whatever it is, this little small little bit that don't look like much, basically when the scale of God, on the scale of God, that light little affliction, that light little time when somebody talked about you and you stood for God, that light little time when you chose to forgive, that light little time when it felt like you sacrificed all, that light little time when you had sowed into certain things and it didn't come back in your result, that light little time when you decided to come out of your comfort zone and do something that may have risked your very existence of certain things, but because for the glory and for the will and for the purpose of God, that light little affliction is going to supersede, it's going to be magnified, and it's going to be an external weight of glory. In other words, God's glory. God's glory. Amplified Bible, that same scripture says like this: "For a light momentary affliction is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease." So, with that being said, if it seems like the scales of life are not tipped in our favor, when it seems like the enemy thinks that they have won, when it seems like they're criticizing our name, they're talking about us, they're slandering your name, they're slandering everything, and you chose in your mind, in your heart, to say, "God, you know what? I will give you glory. I will give you praise." When you be like Christ and says, "God, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And it seemed like the enemy has won. No, I'm telling you, that's the very thing that begins to turn your situation around. That's that very thing that begins to allow you to lean heavily on God's side. That's that thing that begins to be the game changer in whatever the enemy tried to plot and plan on your life. That is the thing that begins to shift that weight in your favor. And that is God's weight of glory, where God begins to step on the scale with you. And he begins to allow his glory to be revealed. And when his glory be revealed, you can imagine that that scale begins to come down and it begins to hit the ground. And whatever the enemy thought that he had gets pushed off and it begins to thrown away and to be cast out. Because who can stand against the weight of God's glory? And if God be for you, who can be against you? It is time for the weight to shift in your favor. It is time for us to stop going around and having a pity party for ourselves and not understanding that God is doing this so that he can work the glory out for us. He's going to shift it over. It's not going to always be like this, but he's going to perfect, which concerns us. Sooner or later, it's turning around in our favor. It's turning around. It's turning around. Don't be dismayed. It's turning around. You may not have everything that you think you lack, and you may think that God has forgotten about you. No, he has not. He has not forgotten about you. But what he's doing, he's allowing that affliction. He's allowing that pain. He's allowing that circumstance in your life to work a far exceeding great glory over you, that you may be able to grow, that you may be able to stretch, that you may be able to condition your heart, that you may be able to have a different mindset, that you may be able to see God in a way that you have never seen God before. If that is you, then come on and give God some praise. Give him glory right now in your circumstances. Give him glory right now in your situation, because God is moving in your direction. He's coming and he's going to sit with you on the scale. He's going to be right where you are. He's going to be in that bed of affliction that you are dealing with. He's going to come. And when God comes into the picture, when his presence made known, anything where God's presence is, it cannot, shall not, and will not stand. So if you are dealing with some type of sickness in your body, then understand that the weight is shifting, that God's glory is coming. And when God's glory comes, it can't stand in God's presence. It can't stand where God is. Healing has to bow down to the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, because Jesus is a direct representation of our Father God. My God. My God, my God, my God. You may be on that scale in your life where you feel like things are not in your favor. I just believe that you're going to see quick, fast, and in a hurry, you're going to see things start to level out. There's going to be a weight down, a literally physical weight that you're going to feel on your shoulders. And it's not going to be like a burden. It's not going to be like something that's going to crush you or destroy you, but it's going to be something that's going to give you and empower you and ground you and make you comfort. It's going to be a level of a coat that's going to comfort you. It's going to be a weight. You know, I was looking, and I've seen them before, and it's interesting. Because there was you can probably find them on eBay or whatever. And I don't know what it is, but I found it very interesting. And I'm talking about weight. A few things that I did that it's interesting about weight. And I'm talking about actual physical weight. With weight, weight is something that it can anchor a ship, keeps it from, you know, kind of going about to and fro and causing it to fly around. It weighs things down, right? I ended up getting a weight system, and it doesn't use your, you know, actual weights on it, right? But it uses in a certain way, and this is a very powerful thing that I think about it. It allows you to use your own weight as the resistance, okay? It uses that weight in a way where the workout that I get when I use it, it's a total gym, and it's whoever invented it, it's an interesting thing. The total gym system, so to speak, is a weight where it doesn't use your physical weights, you know, like a 45-pound weight or anything like that, nor does it have the cable weights that, you know, you know with the cable plates or any type of flex band or anything like that. But it's designed to where it takes your own personal weight, and with the way that it structures it, it begins to use that as a level of resistance to get the results of that it wants to achieve. So it makes you stronger by using your own weight. I want you to listen to what it is. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm gonna say this again because I want you to catch this. It uses your weight to make you stronger. It uses that your weight as resistance to make you stronger. The thing about it is that you have to use the weight. You have to let the weight shape you. Now, that's the same thing when it comes to with God. He has to allow the weight or the struggle that you're in to condition you that you may see and that you may know what your assignment is in most cases. But you may think that it is a struggle, or you may think that it is a discomfort, or it is an obstacle, or whatever it is. He will use that to be your training tool, or to be your transformation tool, or the means of your transformation. It's like he'll use it as the chisel to define you. He will use it as the sword, or the surgical sword, to cut off things from you. So he will use the weight or whatever that you're in, he will use that to strengthen you, right? And when you are strengthened, you yourself, because of the muscle mass that you would get or whatever it is that you would get, you will be grounded a little bit more, a little bit stronger. Things will be a little bit more stable, right? That's one thing. That's one example I want to give you. Another thing about weight, I was looking on eBay and I think it was on Facebook, whatever, and I've seen these before. And there's a thing called a weighted blanket, right? And it's interesting because with that blanket, it is said that because of the weight of it, it brings a level of, I guess, a level of security, or it gives you a level of comfort some kind of way, where when the weight basically rests upon you, it kind of just, in a sense, it grounds you, but it makes you, gives you the ability to sleep comfortably, or it doesn't shift around, doesn't move around. It just stays right there, and it's consistent. It's right there, and it stays on you, right? And you can feel the weight of it, and it begins to, you know, to kind of put you to sleep. So I never understood that, but there is something about the weight that's coming, the weight that shifts, and I believe that God is doing something now that the very thing that you thought was going to take you out, it is going to be the very thing that's going to strengthen you. It is going to be the very thing that God is going to get the glory out of. And even in the midst, when you feel like you are struggling with it, you feel like you are over, it's going to overtake you. It will not overtake you. It will not overtake you. It's not designed to win. It is designed to perfect you, that you may win in Him, because He's already victorious. And I believe by the authority of Jesus Christ that whatever mountain or whatever struggle that you're going through, it is where God is shifting the weight over your life, that you may be able to see Him in all of His glory, that you may be able to know that you are valued to Him. Did you know that most of the times the things that have a greater weight is the thing that has a greater value? Look at diamonds. The bigger the carat weight, usually it will give a greater value, right? Look at gold. The bigger the weight, okay, right? Well, it's really different. The weight of it gives more of a greater value. Now, with gold, it's a little bit different because if I'm understanding correctly, the higher the carats are, I think it means it's a softer material. But nevertheless, when they weigh it, it's going by the pounds. And there's a value in the pound or the weight of that gold. Whereas the more weight, the more value. The more weight, the more value. God is shifting the weight. God is shifting your anointing in this season. God is shifting the weight of the oil that He is pouring out over your life. I decree and declare that this weight will not wash off easily. This oil will not wash off easily. But the viscosity or the weight of this oil is going to stick with you, and it's going to allow the glory of God to carry you into his glorious place of victory. I stand in faith covenant agreement with you that you will not give in to this weight, that this weight will strengthen you and will cause you to be something that you have never thought you would ever be, but yet it will always be what God has intended. And that is to be a child of God, a warrior of God, a royal priest. The value of what he is, the manifestations of the sons of God are going to be increased. And what it is that this weight that you're going through, this trial, this test, this adversity, this whatever it is, I know I'm speaking to somebody here, whatever this adversity is that is you're going through, it's going to guarantee you, I stand in it, it's going to be a 2 Corinthians 4:17 type of situation. It's going to work out an external weight of glory over your life. You're going to see the blessings of God. You're going to see the blessings of God in this. You're going to see the blessings of God in this. I say that again. You're going to see the blessings of God in this. So when that weight is shifted in your favor, lift your hands up. I don't care if it's hard for you to lift up your hands, lift that hands up, lift your head back and give God the glory. Give God the praise. Give God the honor. Give him when you feel like you're, you know, there is such an overwhelming type of situation that's going on in your life, I challenge you to fight past it and just give God praise and acknowledge him. I guarantee you, I feel it such deeply in my spirit. I guarantee you that when you fight and do that, that you're going to see him show up in your favor. You're going to start seeing the scale tip. I guarantee you, you're going to see that scale tip. And you're going to start seeing things come down, and it's going to level and ground you to the place where you will get the victory. So I'm so glad that in life, our lives, that God didn't make things vanilla where, you know, we didn't have any, you know, I'm glad that he allowed us to have these afflictions. I'm glad that God allowed us to have these struggles, to have these troubles and these trials and situations. I'm so glad because you know what it does? It begins to exercise our faith. It begins to allow us to stretch out and to reach and to move and to react. Because if you were given everything, one thing about the example that I gave you, when I said you can reach out and just get the water, reach out, just sometimes you got to get up and go get your own water. Sometimes you got to get up and move and stretch beyond your point. And the reason that you have to do that is because of the fact your body has to be exercised. If you sat there and you got everything with you, or you sat in your seat all day, every day, then your muscles would go back and you would now have, muscle degeneration, atrophy. Thank you. You would have atrophy where you'll get cramps and you'll get up and you can't move. You can't do anything, so you'll be an invalid. You can't even move your arms. You can't even lift up your arms because it's too heavy, because your muscles are now not being practiced. So I'm so glad that God began to allow us to be able to exercise our faith and see him at all his glory. To exercise, you know, when he presents us with an adversary or presents us with an obstacle in our lives, that we're able to see the glory of God in existence. This thing that we have is real. We don't serve a God where we just put fruit at his feet. We don't serve a God where he just goes by willy-nilly. We throw some incense to him and we hope that he does something. No, we don't serve that type of God. We serve a living and an active God. And his kind of God, he's already in the fight when we're in the fight. He's already moving, and he begins to see and show you. You will see him and you will see the glory that he operates in. And that same glory that he operates in is the same glory that we're able to operate in, because we're operating on behalf of him. And we share that with him. He allows us to share that by the way of Jesus Christ. We share that with him. And we see the favor and the victory. He fights for us. That's why when I tell you that when you walk into a particular situation and your feet hit the ground, there is something. If you ever watch in the movies when or ever going to like a shallow pond, and the minute you step your foot into that shallow pond, there's waves that go forth. You interrupt this the stillness of that water. And some of us just splash, just put that foot down and just splash in the puddle. Cause that's sometimes what we got to do. Because when the enemy is on a certain territory, you got to put your foot down and allow the weight of your foot to just ripple all everything and tear it up. That's the power that you have in him. That's the power that you have, that you're going to, you are a warrior. You are a strong tower. And I believe that your life, your situation is changing and the weight is shifting. Come on and give God praise. I'm so glad that God has visited us today in our sermon title, When the Weight Shifts. Gracious and Heavenly Father, Lord God, I stand in faith, covenant agreement with my brother and with my sister. I stand in arm and hand in hand, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I stretch out my hands to them right now. That, Lord God, even though I may not be in the very place that they're in, I stand in faith covenant agreement. We all stand in faith covenant agreement with all of us, with each and every one, God. I stand in faith covenant agreement, Father, that I understand that, God, you are shifting the weight in their direction. I stand in faith covenant agreement, Father, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. That, Lord God, whatever the adversity is, whatever the situation is, that you have equipped them, Father, to stand firm. So, Father God, I pray that you begin to strengthen their legs. I pray, God, that you begin to strengthen their hind feet, that, Lord God, they shall see the salvation of the Lord, that they'll be able to stand still, that, Lord God, they'll not be tossed to and fro, going with every wind and doctrine or going to trying to find their need in other things. But, Lord God, they'll be rooted, grounded, and planted in you. And I pray, Father, that the weight of your glory falls upon them heavily, that, God, that the scale begins to come down, that, God, goes into the favor of who you are, that you are weightier, you are bigger and larger than anything that we should ever face, anything that we should come in contact with. Father God, we stand in your presence. And Father, we stand in awe of you. We stand, God, that the weight of your glory is falling upon us right now, that your glory is moving through our homes and breaking and shattering every structure that the enemy has tried to set over us, is breaking every stronghold and everything that people thought was sure. God, your weight of your glory is even shattering the whole existence of what we knew in this world. We see the weight of your glory challenging everything now. It is challenging the school systems. It is challenging the governmental authorities. It is challenging the presidential authorities. It is even challenging the religious organizations right now, that the weight of your glory is crushing everything that you have not intended it to survive, that the weight of your glory is crushing even our own mindsets and our agenda. It is causing us to pay attention to you. And Lord God, I thank you for that. I thank you that you are evident in every plan of this world, because this world is yours. And Father God, we know that if our people, your people, my people, which are called by your name, will humble ourselves and pray, seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, and we shall hear your voice from heaven. We shall hear you move. We shall hear instruction. We shall hear results. And for that, Father God, we praise you. We glorify you, and we magnify you today. This has been RTRMI radio broadcast. And I pray that you have gotten something out of this message today. I pray that God has given you a word of encouragement, given you a word of hope. And if you feel that our ministry has been a blessing to you, I pray that you can just allow us to continue to be of service to you. We ask that if you can support our ministry, that you can reach us on our website, which is rtrmi.org, or even on the RTRMI radio broadcast, there is a link, a PayPal link, that you may feel free to sow a seed to our ministry. Just know that we are building the kingdom of God and spreading the word across the nation, across the world, and to every home. But for the most part, I'm so glad that today has been a day that you have been healed, you have been delivered, but furthermore, you have definitely been restored. This is Pastor B. I love you. Signing out. God bless you.